And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. The second hour, Aggie Nation, the B&B show.
Can we go off script right from the beginning?
We can always go off script.
What day do you usually do your space news?
Friday is space news.
Okay. Well, today's Monday, but I just saw on Twitter my good friend and College Station offensive coordinator and girls head soccer coach Stoney Parr put on Twitter, 46 years ago today, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, today the big. There's actually a Twitter account that's doing like a live, not live, obviously, but it's tweeting as if it were live.
Really?
Like if the moon landing happened today, okay, this is what the tweets would have looked like.
I just know so, that, yeah, that you,
you know, I'm a sucker for space news.
Oh yeah,
so I do love a good bit of space news. Our second hour today brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Check that out. Lots of great shows. You can text us 229-1939. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Do you have any space news? Whatever you want to send us, we will talk about it on the show. I was trying to think. There was something I saw. Well, we'll get to that later in the week. We got a long week, Larry. We might have a few surprises up our sleeve this week, too, though. I was telling you about it before the show.
We're going to
see.
One of your surprises might give me the day off.
Yeah. We're going to see how it goes.
I'm rooting for you, Aubrey.
Yeah, we're going to see how it goes throughout the week. But hit us up. A few texts. Someone said, why does ESPN let the British Open totally screw up their schedule? Was this a plot to disrupt ESPN? Obviously. It's clearly a plot by the British Open to disrupt ESPN's programming schedule. And then someone else said after SEC Media Days, how lame is Big 12 Media Day, with the exception of Cliff and Beatty? It is Big 12 Media Days, and I want to talk about a negative the Big 12 did, and then we're going to talk about some positives. So if you're a Big 12 fan, the positive is coming. But first
you got to rant.
Yes, because I hate PR moves that are nothing but PR moves. Today, the Big 12 issued a big statement, and I meant to look it up before I started doing all this, but the Big 12 put this statement out today about the live contact restrictions, and their exact quote, the Big 12 conference continues to take the lead in the area of player safety as the first conference to enact more restrictive contact penalties than currently permitted. The policy is going to be only 2 days of live tackling during the season, meaning that if, you know, assuming you have a game that weekend, you can only go full contact during one practice during the week. Here's the deal, Larry. Everyone already does that. For one, this doesn't include what they're calling thud practices and wrap-up drills. This only includes if you actually are tackling people to the ground. And I asked this earlier, does anyone tackle people to the ground during the season? I mean, maybe during an Oklahoma drill or possibly, maybe if you're going against the scout team, maybe you take down the running back, but I've never seen a college team take people to the ground during the season.
And you're telling me this conference, which had such a great publicity with its one champion thing last year and all the fun with Baylor and TC, you're telling me they're making a move strictly for PR purposes?
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah. And so now they're getting some the funny part is people who actually – there's two part, the hot take industry that's out there, the sports media folks and maybe that don't know the insides of college football are going to say, this is another step towards the wussification of America.
Flag football.
Players can't play anymore. They go out there, it's flag, it's 7-on-7, Larry. We hear about this all the time. Here's the thing. No one has full contact during the season. I mean, I've never heard, of at least recently, I'm sure back in Bear Bryant's day, they were knocking each other around. And maybe 10, 15 years ago. But these days, nobody goes full contact as far as like taking a running back to the ground more than once a week.
It's interesting, Aubrey. The first thing that came to my mind when you mentioned that is I go back to the 80s, the first few years when I was on the Aggie beat. One of the coaches that I got to know the best and felt the closest to was Bob Davey, who was the defensive coordinator under R.C. Slocum when the Wrecking Crew really kind of came into its own. And I remember several times talking to Bob about that, and he talked about – how difficult it was to get a defense ready to play and ready to tackle because you didn't tackle in practice. And that he was talking about all the way from August all the way on through.
Yeah, it's just not a thing that happens. So it's like I said, I joked around on Twitter earlier, the Pac-12 is going to make a rule against no steel cage death matches, and then the Big Ten is going to ban swords from fall. It's just a nothing move. I mean, no one does this.
Well, if you're going to do that, you know, steel cage matches and swords are good things. You might as well come up with something original.
Every coach that's gone up there today at the Big 12 has been asked about it. Every single one of them has said it's not going to affect us at all.
Right, yeah.
Because it's not, so a, thing. It's not then, a thing they
yeah.
do.
So, yeah. What is the SEC going to go with quicksand? We're down in the South. There's no quicksand
yeah,
practices.
Yeah, no more quicksand practices. Yeah. Running behind the truck if you're not fast enough. You know, none of that. It's all banned. Everything is banned, Larry.
Well, I know you were that. This has you stirred up.
Well, it's because it's just a PR move. It doesn't really mean anything. And I'm all about player safety. I'm one of the guys. I'm pro targeting rules. I think they should even be more targeting. I think it's not that hard to not hit someone in the head. I was a big proponent a few years back of saying that targeting needed to be available on offensive players. At the time, an offensive player couldn't get called for targeting, which I thought was ridiculous because you've seen wide receivers level guys, like especially on reverses, things like a fake punt where any change of field.
Yeah, counter.
Right, you kind of see that. So I've always been a big proponent of player safety, but this is not a move for player safety because this isn't a move that affects anybody. So again, it drives me a little bit nuts. All right, that's out of the way. Let's talk about some positives of the Big 12, and that is this is going to be a big year for that league. Today's big day at Big 12 Media Days, the one everyone's around. They set up their cameras hours ahead of time. That is because the preseason Heisman favorite is speaking today, Larry, and that is Trayvon Boykin, a guy that probably last fall, nobody knew other than maybe, oh, is that guy that was backing up Casey Paul-Hall and playing wide receiver? He is the number one preseason Heisman vote. I think 7-1 last I saw for Trayvon Boykin. This is a league, Larry, that it's funny because they do have two power teams. Baylor and TCU are probably going to start the season out in the top 5-10. Certainly TCU could be as high as number 2 possibly. Yet, they don't. Everyone says the league is down. No one talks about it. And we talked about this a little bit last week. When people say the Big 12 is down, they mean Texas and Oklahoma aren't as good as they have been. But Baylor and TCU, as good as there are out there right now.
Absolutely. And I'll preface this by saying I think the fact that there are Heisman lists in July or June or January, as it is now, is you know, I mean, it is what it is, but it's stupid. Who knows? Johnny Manziel wasn't on any list, but
well, the one I talked about last week, I put it in the story. Jeremy Johnson from Auburn is like 4th on the Heisman, you know, whatever the different casino I saw that had their odds out, and he started fewer games than Kyle Allen.
Right.
So, it's kind of funny.
Trayvon Boykin, I think I could do better with Julian Obioha, but but Boykin, seeing him last year, Aubrey, he has two huge things going for him, and one is that he does have the name recognition. He's made the big plays. He's already on the radar. The other thing, too, is TCU figures to have an awfully good season. I don't think, and, you know, maybe I've lived maybe 4 years in SEC country is too much, but I don't think he's going to see a lot of great defenses in the Big 12. So I think he'll have good numbers. If they beat Baylor, you know, their record could be good enough to get them into the playoff. And if he's a quarterback who makes exciting plays, puts up big numbers, and his team gets into the playoff, then you've got to like his chances.
Yeah, and the Big 12 has done a little bit of interesting moves this year. In the last couple of years, to try to optimize their playoff chances, you know, last year we talked about that everyone, the Big 12, the co-champions, and all this kind of stuff. That's why they ended up not getting a team in the playoff. But had the title games gone another way, they could have ended up with two teams in the playoff because their champion doesn't have to play another game at the end. This year is a weird year because Baylor and TCU moved their game for TCU to the very end of the season. They're going to play the day after Thanksgiving. That game is November 27th at TCU. That is a prime time game that Friday night. And that is TCU's final game of the season, but it's not Baylor's. Baylor has a another game after that. They play Texas on December 5th in Waco. So it's kind of odd.
You could look at that and take that as a huge slap in the face to the Longhorns.
Well,
they would think, well, we're going to play. We know the biggest game that we're playing is going to be against TCU, but we'll move them to this prime location. Yeah, we've got another game against Texas, but we've been kicking their rears here recently, and we don't worry about that.
Well, there's two interesting things involved there as to why. One is that Texas, in proof that they still run the Big 12, despite not being that good at it right now, is Texas has a deal where they always play at home on Thanksgiving. They just rotate between the Texas schools. This year, it's Texas Tech that they play at home. They play at home on Thanksgiving every year, just with a different opponent. Last year, it was TCU. We saw that in the press box. They were just getting clobbered by the Frogs. So then they got to go to Baylor the week after, or effectively the week after the season ends, because that's the same weekend as the SEC title game and all that kind of stuff. Now, this works in Baylor's favor if Baylor beats TCU. But it doesn't work in TCU's favor if they end the season undefeated or with one loss and all these other teams, because the Big Ten, SEC, Pac-12, ACC will all have another game. And they won't be playing on that final weekend. So my question is, if the Big 12 is going to put a game that weekend anyway, why not have everyone end on that weekend, Larry?
I think you make a good case. And the thing in TCU's case, the risk they have is if they're a one-loss team and everybody else plays that week and gets a chance to make another impression, a last impression. If TCU's undefeated, if they beat Baylor and they win all their games, it doesn't matter if they're playing that next weekend, because they're going to be in, as you said, they're going to start high enough in the polls. If they win that conference, particularly in light of what happened last year, then you know they're in. But the thing is, it puts them at jeopardy if they have one loss.
I want to go to a break because I want to come back and ask you what you think about the Big 12 this year. We know about TCU and Baylor. They're going to be the favorites. But do we like any of the other teams in that league? And then we'll get to a couple of y'all's texts y'all have sent in about the Big 12 as well. But let's go to break. We'll come in, and I want to talk about maybe some surprises, some quote-unquote dark horses, even though I hate that term, in the Big 12 when we come back. So let's do it. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
If you watch TV, listen to the radio, go to the movies, or simply hear people talking, you hear about prescription drugs and their effects. Sometimes these are portrayed as safe or as something that is meant for a good time. Actually, nothing could be farther from the truth. Prescription drugs are prescribed by a doctor with one person in mind and one reason in mind. That reason is to treat someone for an illness or injury. If you abuse your or someone else's medicine, this could be a prescription for disaster. For more information, call 979-846-3560.
It's summertime and you're on the go. To camps, sporting events, day trips, or just around town. So make sure you stop in at your neighborhood Rattlers and check out all the icy cold drink specials, or grab a snack of Duke's Beef Jerky. All flavors only $5.99 a pack. Or pick up some lunch like a delicious fully loaded hot dog, only 79 cents with your registered Rattlers Rewards card. Working out in the sun? Then cool off after work with a 12-pack of beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $10.99. Rattlers. Friendly. Clean. Texan.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Cherry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker United, Hargrove Insurance, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Summer is here, so it must be Harvest Festival time. Make plans now to join the Messina-Hoff Winery family every weekend in August for the 38th annual Harvest Festival. Enjoy grape picking, traditional grape stomping, wine and food pairings, specialty dinners, and so much more. Messina-Hoff's estate winery is located at 4545 Old Reliance Road in Bryan. That's the 38th annual Harvest Festival at Messina-Hoff Winery and Resort. Get all your Harvest Festival information online at messinahoff.com/harvest.
Every driver has met that guy. You know, the guy who cuts people off and doesn't care what anyone else thinks. That guy who refuses to come to a complete stop at a stop sign because he always comes first. If you've never met that guy, think about it. Maybe it's because you are that guy.
Aggressive drivers, they aren't just rude, they can be deadly. Be safe, drive smart. This message sponsored by TxDOT.
Don't miss the return of the Belucci Hour at the Tap, Monday, July 27th. It's time to get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of TxAgs Radio. And do we even have to mention the return of the Wrecking Crew with our brand new defensive coordinator? There's so much happening in Aggie football this fall, so we'll see you Monday, July 27th from noon till 1 at the Tap for the return of the Belucci Hour. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $6.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles and make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your game week.
Each Tuesday, listen in to win your Texas Ranger tickets on the Louie Belina Show. Powered by teamofnavasota.com on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
And I have faith in a few things. Divinity and grace.
Welcome back. The Bloom and Bowen Show today here on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. We're talking about everyone's favorite conference. That is the Big 12, of course. I do want to poke a little more fun at them, though, Larry. This year, apparently, all their signs, all the things, every deal at the media days says every game matters. However, they did issue a statement, which is classic Big 12. Enough. Someone asked. They went, oh, we've got to make a statement. The official slogan of the conference is still one true champion. But the theme at Media Days is every game matters. So they've got that going for them, Larry. Who's running the
bless their heart?
Right? I mean, that's
they need a bless their heart.
They do need a bless their heart. They need someone who can just get the focus on the right thing, seems to be the problem. You know, we talked about this a little bit. The disparity between how good some of the Big 12 teams are on the field this year and how ridiculous the conference looks off the field. This is a league that could very easily have three teams in the conversation for the national championship. Obviously, TCU and Baylor, and then Oklahoma. A lot of people like that team this year. And yet, it's just become a joke after joke. They just can't get quite anything right, Larry. What's the deal?
Well, I don't know. I'm curious, Aubrey, do the other people, the media that you interact with, and Hoover and the things that you read and check nationally, do other people view the Big 12 that same way? Because I think no matter what we think, Houston grad, and you're trying to be unbiased in what you're doing, but where we live, it's like, what is that TV show where there's a big globe over the place? Well, yeah, there's a maroon globe over this place. Yeah. So we see the Big 12. Even for a Sam Houston State graduate, you see it through that maroon lens because everybody, I mean, and they've made themselves such an easy target.
Well, and also that's the thing. Yes is the answer. At SEC Media Days, you know, people would come up and people would, you know, say something about the Big 12 and how ridiculous it is. Also partially because we were talking about the quality of football between the leagues. And one thing I think the Big 12 needs is some diversity of the teams in it and how they play. We talked about one of the things that makes the SEC so interesting is that even just in the West, you've got air raid teams. You've got an old school ground and pound team in Arkansas. You've got a couple hybrid teams in LSU and Alabama. And then you've got some spread run teams, some kind of option spreads in Mississippi State and Auburn. So everyone's a little bit different, and some are radically different. I mean, A&M and Arkansas could not be further apart on the how they play spectrum. But in the Big 12, everybody except maybe Kansas State and possibly Texas, but depending on exactly how dedicated the spread they get this year, plays the same, some version of the same offense. I mean, and you know, Kevin Sumlin's been making the joke at coaches nights that three of the Big 12 head coaches used to be his offensive coordinator. So certainly West Virginia, TCU. West Virginia, TCU, Kansas all run the exact same offense. So that's one thing I think hurts the league a little bit, too, is it's the same game. It's high scoring. Everyone's playing the same way. And just certain teams are a little bit better at it.
Yeah. Others. Well, let me ask you a question about another angle on the perception of the league. You mentioned the fact that TCU and Baylor are both highly regarded. Texas and Oklahoma have been down. I mean, as good as Bob Stoops had that program, they haven't been as good the last few years. If you compare that to the SEC, if you took Alabama, I don't know if it's fair to say like Georgia or Florida, because those programs have been down on a certain level. But if you took the biggest names and made them down, and if it was Ole Miss and Mississippi State, if they had kind of finished off their runs last year, if it was unknown teams or upstart teams, would people perceive the league differently? Because I think your point earlier, I heard this, maybe you guys made this point from Hoover, but people look at the Big 12 and say it's down because they don't think of Baylor and TCU. They're not the traditional powers.
Right.
If Texas and OU aren't good, people are going to say that the league's down, even though, you know, the guys who replaced them might be pretty good.
Yeah, if Ole Miss met Vandy in the SEC title game, you know, then the SEC would be down. It would be the same kind of deal. Like I said, it's an interesting look at a conference, and I mentioned the diversity of play though, because it just makes the Big 12 so it almost, which is ridiculous because of how scoring and entertaining the games can be at times, is it makes some of it a little boring because it's really
numbing.
Well, because, it's 10 versions of the same team.
And the thing is, if you think about it, Aubrey, I had never thought about it from that perspective, but looking at it from that angle, the thing that kind of verifies your statement or your argument is the fact that if you look at the Big 12, for various reasons, Kansas State, Bill Snyder are always interesting because you just don't know what they're going to do. But they're not committed to that like some of the other guys. You know, they might have a guy like Michael Bishop who could throw the ball, but who will run it. And they had – who was the guy who was their quarterback who was a running quarterback the year Johnny won the Heisman?
Colin Klein.
Yeah, so, I mean, but always and maybe because they usually end up being better than people give them credit for, I always find Bill Snyder's Kansas State teams one of the most interesting teams in the Big 12, whether you like them or don't like them.
Yeah,
but they are different.
Yeah, they are the one that's different, and they're a little, I would say, Mississippi State-esque. They're not really a spread, but they're kind of a power spread, sort of, if you want to call it that. They run out of pistol a little bit. And they'll do some spread concepts, but they're not, you know, like the nine teams are. And so you've got, we mentioned that there's one thing to be the air raid, and really A&M is really the only quote-unquote air raid team in the SEC still. Now, Ole Miss flirts with it a little bit, with Hugh Freeze does, but really A&M is the only one. That's not the case in the Big 12, where you've got, obviously, Kingsbury, Holgorsen, and Beatty are straight out of the air raid system. But now you've also got Lincoln Riley as the new OC at Oklahoma. He's one out of there. I get the names mixed up, but Meacham and the old former Tech quarterback, they're now at TCU. They are straight out of that system. Art Briles' air raid's a little slightly different, more vertical packages, but it's still an air it out kind of offense. And so, the most part, you have some slight variations in there, but like I said, it's really eight versions of the same team. The only two that stick out as radically different are Kansas State and last year Texas, but now Texas has said they're going to be an air raid team too, or a little more of a spread team, so we'll see what they do. But that to me makes it hard if you don't have the talent. If you're Kansas or you're Iowa State, and I should mention Iowa State's a little different too, but they do some weird stuff. But it makes it hard to get better because everyone does the same thing that you do, and they've got better players doing it. That's kind of the problem with it. You know, in the Big 12 right now, Iowa State is going to have a hard time moving up. Kansas is going to have an incredibly hard time moving up. Oklahoma State, I think, is going to have a hard time bouncing back because when all the teams are recruiting on the same level, and without Texas recruiting like Texas, and without Oklahoma recruiting like Oklahoma, those classes have all kind of come closer together. The talent level at Baylor is not radically different. The talent at TCU is not radically different. That it's just a bunch of the same teams doing the same thing. And when you're a step down from those teams, how are you going to beat them playing their game, Larry? I just don't understand why they don't diversify a little more.
I think it has to do with the way people are these days, Aubrey. I don't know how many people can do what the guy did. Who was it, Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech that rang? I mean, I don't know. Golly, Bill Snyder at Kansas State's just in his own guy. He's completely different than everybody else. But it just seems like everybody wants to throw the ball. Everybody wants to be in that kind of thing. And I don't blame them for doing it. I mean, what's David Beatty going to do?
I think at certain schools you almost have to do that. I think Baylor and TCU and Tech, you probably have to. Mm-hmm. You're going to recruit Texas, and everyone in Texas runs that now. Mm-hmm. So you can't recruit to a system you don't have. But if – if you're someone, and this is why I wish Kansas would have done something different. Now, I like David Bailey. I think he's going to do a good job there, as good as he can do. But I think it would have been interesting to see with Kansas to pull someone, maybe like Arkansas's offensive coordinator, you know, or someone along those
lines. You want to go
out
of the box.
Yeah, go completely the other way and see how that works out. Just try something different, because I just have a hard time seeing those teams getting better than the teams that they're trying to, you know, emulate. It's going to be a long road to the top. A couple texts. Of course, the biggest joke about the Big 12, we've made several jokes about the league already, Larry, and don't even bring up the fact that there's not 12 teams in it, which drives me nuts.
Well, but Jordan Spieth is going to make 11.
Yeah. Someone said, beside the monetary reason, do they think they will get back to 12 teams? I do think that's eventually the case. Someday they've got to get back to 12 teams, you'd think. But for now, they seem to be content. And then Christensen in D.C. said Baylor lost to West Virginia. How can you consider them a power? Look, good teams lose to bad teams all the time. But Baylor beat everyone else and probably should have beaten Michigan State in the Cotton Bowl, or whatever they called that bowl last year. So I think if you're a preseason top 10, you are. Now, I do think Baylor's got more to prove to me than TCU does, because they haven't, for all of their wins and all of their stuff, they haven't really beaten anyone that incredible outside of the Big 12. You know, they haven't faced down a Bama in a bowl game or anything like that, as where TCU just obliterated poor Ole Miss last year in the Peach Bowl. So they've done a little bit more there. But real quick, we've got a couple minutes, and then we're going to go to the high school report. But is there anyone in the Big 12? Is this a Baylor-TCU show, or do you like Oklahoma? Do you like someone else to make a move this year?
The team that I think is the most interesting is Oklahoma, because, you know, I'm wondering if they can get up and be really competitive with Baylor and TCU, because they had been so good for so long, and it's interesting that they just slipped. And I think TCU and Baylor moving up, you know, kind of coincided. I think those kind of come and go, Aubrey. I remember several years here covering A&M where the Aggies had bad years and they struggled, and then when they surged, the Longhorns went down. I think there's a kind of a cause and effect relationship.
Yeah,
and I'd really like to see, you mentioned the fact that some people think Oklahoma could be really good. To me, other than Kansas State, which is always interesting just because they're interesting, and you want to see what happens with Texas. I think people here kind of want to see what happens almost from a sadistic standpoint.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but I think to me the team that's most interesting in terms of that they might do something to get your attention would be Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm interested in Oklahoma, and I'm interested in Oklahoma State this year. Texas, I think, is going to be, well, you know, we talk about this sometimes. I think they're going to be a lot better, but they might not win any more games, you know, because their schedule is ridiculous by Big 12 standards. They play at Notre Dame to start the year. Then they're going to play Cal, who was bad last year but can put points on the board. I mean, they're a Sonny Dykes team. They're essentially an air raid team on the West Coast. So we'll see what they do. And then, of course, their schedule, as Big 12 schedules go, is not good. They go at TCU. They are at Baylor. They're at West Virginia.
I think Morgantown's always going to be hard trip just because it's more Morgantown.
Weird things happen in Morgantown, no question. But, again, there we go. We'll see if anyone can step up in the Big 12, and now we probably won't talk about them again for 2 months. So I wanted to get that out of the way today, Larry. Let's go to break. When we come back, it's time for the high school report. We got a little bit of news on the high school side today. That is, it's official, Larry. The Texas State Championships in football are coming to Houston.
Yeah, and David and all the people knew that for a while, but today the UIL finally made it official. That's been up at Texas Stadium. It's not Texas Stadium anymore, but it's AT&T Stadium. But
yeah,
because of the conflict with the schedule, they can't do it this year. That was announced officially today. David's down in Houston for the Texas High School Coaches Association annual coaching school. We want to check in with him. Big changes down there, not only where the state championship games are being played, no all-star games for the first time in, I don't know, David will tell us how many million years. And
yeah,
we want to see what he thinks about that.
There you go. We'll get him when we come back. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. It was a week ago today, a Waller County jail inmate was found dead in her cell. The family of Sandra Bland has ordered an independent autopsy. A lawyer for the family expects results by Wednesday. A DPS trooper involved in the traffic stop that led to Bland's arrest was transferred to administrative duty after a preliminary investigation discovered violations of the DPS traffic stop and courtesy policies. Texas A&M is another step closer to breaking ground on a new student housing complex on West Campus. That's after Brazos County commissioners at their last meeting approved a $355 million bond issue. County Judge Dwayne Peters says A&M has an agreement with a nonprofit company to build and operate what will be more than 3,400 beds.
I'm not sure that they could just build them with all these amenities associated with them, but a public-private endeavor, they can do that sort of thing. And so they may be a little more upscale than just a regular old dorm.
Commissioner Kenny Mallard voted against the bonds after hearing no property taxes would be collected because it's located on university property. Peter says the appraisal district will have the final say. A&M system officials say more details, including a construction time, should come in the next couple of weeks. According to a public notice, the student housing is located in an area bordered by George Bush, Penberthy, Luther West, and Marion Pugh. And starting tonight, there will be various lane closures at the intersection of Texas Avenue and Villa Maria between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. in order to activate the new temporary signals. Southbound lanes of Highway 6 at Boonville and William J. Bryan Parkway and westbound lanes of the bridge will be closed from 6:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. starting tonight through Friday to repair the bridge, which was damaged earlier this month. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish Home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
Thanks for dinner. Hey, let's get out of here and hop in your new certified pre-owned BMW.
Oh, I love that. Quick question. You're really tan. Were you at the beach?
Spray tan. Comes right off.
Ooh, deal breaker. It's not you. It's the Napa leather.
When it drives and looks like new, you'll treat it like new. Hurry into the BMW certified pre-owned spring sales event going on now. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. For full information, visit cpo.bmwusa.com.
Visit Garland Shelton BMW. See them on the web at garlandsheltonbmw.com.
Don't miss the return of the Belucci Hour at the Tap, Monday, July 27th. It's time to get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texags Radio. And do we even have to mention the return of the Wrecking Crew with our brand new defensive coordinator? There's so much happening in Aggie football this fall, so we'll see you Monday, July 27th from noon till 1 at the Tap for the return of the Belucci Hour. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $6.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles and make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your game week.
Join Gabe and the Texags crew for Texags Radio. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Larry, you did not have to reach very far outside the circle to find today's guest. We already told people what to expect. We've got the man himself.
Well, I'm used to reading that that intro myself after you guys deserted us for a week to Hoover. Yeah, we're going to talk high school football today with our colleague David Campbell, who's down in Houston. There are several things that we want to talk about with David. The thing that jumps out the most to me, David, you've been at this on the high school coverage much longer than I have, and going to coaching school and covering the All-Star games has been something that you've done for many, many years. This year, for the first time since who knows when, and I know you do, no All-Star games because of the NCAA rules that prevent the coaches from being there, the college coaches from being there. I'm wondering, I know you're just kind of probably getting the lay of the land down there, but I'm really curious about how that's going to affect coaching school. It may be differently for the media than it does for the coaches, but what's the general feel? Is that a big topic that there's no All-Star games?
Yeah, I don't know that I've talked to enough coaches, Larry, to get a feel for it. But today, from a media standpoint, there's just not as much media here because there's not that many people. I mean, everybody came down to cover the All-Stars. And it's just one of those things that was, you know, for years and years is part of what you did leading into football season. I'm trying to get a feel for that. Hadn't had really a chance to hang around a lot of the coaches at the convention center and talk to them about that. But I'll try to get a feel for that tomorrow and maybe get an idea of what they're thinking. There's a lot of folks in the convention center. I know that.
Right.
And I don't think anybody's missing the opportunities. And I'll say this about from the media standpoint. The Division One coaches that were not allowed to come because of the NCAA rule that eventually led to them dropping the All-Star games are here. Charlie Strong was here today. David Bailiff, he probably walked across the street from Rice almost. I mean, as close as he was. Kendall Briles was here for Art Briles, representing him today. Texas A&M was scheduled to be on here tomorrow. Kevin Sumlin's not going to be here. He's actually in Bristol, Connecticut. But Jake Spavital's supposed to be here tomorrow representing the Aggies. And so a lot of the coaches are here. So from a media standpoint, it's been, you know, there have been some great opportunities to talk to the Division I coaches. But there's not nearly as much media as there used to be.
The other thing it was announced officially. We talked about this before we went to the break, but certainly you're the person to analyze it for us. It was announced officially by the UIL today that it's hard for me to say NRG Stadium. I think of Reliant, or I don't want to put them back in the Astrodome, but obviously that's not the case. But Houston, the Texan Stadium, NRG Stadium, has been officially named the site for the multi classification football championship games. They're going to do the same thing that they've done the last few years up in Dallas at AT&T Stadium. You knew that a while back, David. Was there was no question in your mind, was it? I mean, that's just a matter of making it official.
No, not in my mind. I think pretty much everybody knew it was going to go to NRG Stadium. And it's funny, the Houston people actually talked about that today. This is something when they added the artificial turf that they were thinking, can we get things like this. They didn't specifically say this, but it had a lot to do with it. And they've seen the success at AT&T Stadium, and I know the UIL did want to keep it together and keep it in one site. And they said that a lot of their responses, even from the small schools, they said, don't split it up.
Right.
Even though some of them can go to AT&T and some of them could have come here, they could have done that.
Right.
They didn't want to do that. And the general feeling was it's the event. Just kind of like the basketball
just
tournament.
Just being part of it.
We've talked about that for years and years, about some people go to the basketball tournament, doesn't matter who's there.
Right.
And I think the football is beginning to evolve like that. And Jamie Harrison of the UIL talked about that today, and he basically said the same thing. He says, we're still in the process of that happening. It's a one-year deal. It is only 11-man football because they just looked around. There's not any six-man football down there.
Right.
Now they don't have any six. They did not have an announcement because we asked them about that for a six-man, so we don't know where the six-man football games are going to be this year. That's still to be determined.
Well, David, let me ask you this, because most of the people that I know that have really been invested in high school football for a long time, and really what I switched back from the Aggie beat to high schools about 10 or 12 years ago, and that's a short timer compared to a lot of guys. I don't know how many years C's spending on it. You've been doing it forever, and we have friends in the business. I think a lot of us really probably didn't like the idea of the same site thing when it first started. At least there was some opposition. I don't know. I can't speak for you or anybody else, but I'm wondering, tell our listeners what you thought about it when they first decided to do it, and if you've changed. You and I have got to go up there a lot. We've been really fortunate with Cameron and Navasota last year, Bremon. I mean, we've had some teams that made it, and we've been fairly regulars at AT&T Stadium, so we've seen it now, and we've had a chance to get a feel for it. Did you like the idea then, and do you like it now?
I like the way they did it. UIL basically took this thing away without asking the Coaches Association, but I always thought it would work. It was one of those things that they did it the wrong way, but they probably had to do it the wrong way to make it happen, and it's worked very well. I mean, I think it'll be good here in Houston. I mean, they've had games here. It was interesting to hear the people in Houston talk about how their relationship with the UIL goes back to Astrodome days, because they had great things. There's another story which turned into the number one story, because this was the expected story. But there was a new athletic director named by the UIL today. I don't know if you saw this.
I saw that, and she's breaking some ground, right?
In a big way. 105 years the UIL's been around, and Dr. Susan Elza will be their first female athletic director. And she is.
I like that. Don't you like that?
I do, and I like her. She's talked to her. I actually ran into her before our press conference today in the hall, talking with the executive director of the UIL, Charles Brightup, and we talked a little bit. She's a Midway High School graduate, so she's a Waco girl.
Of course you like her, yeah.
And so she's a Waco girl.
She probably played a little softball.
She did play softball. In fact, she coached softball as well. And that was one of the questions I asked her today in the press conference. I said, you got any texts from any of those softball coaches trying to sway you and help you out? And she said, well, I've gotten a lot of texts from softball coaches today. So I think
I'm glad you brought that up, David, because that is a significant thing. And you talked to me about this a few weeks ago, and you wondered what they were going to do with that position. And at the time, I don't know if we really had a list of people that we thought were potential candidates, but I don't know her, but I just, for the fact that anytime you get away from the same old thing and break away from the good old boy network, I think that's a good thing. One other thing, David, I want to talk to you about real quick before we finish up on the high school report. The athletics department sent out their preseason coaches association poll type deal, and they break it down all the way to region by region, and you and I can kill several shows with this, but I did want to bring this up because I got it on the email, and I'm sure you've seen it down there. But class 5A region 3, which involves our four local teams, just want to let the listeners know that Temple, which of course went all the way to the state final last year, is the number one ranked team in this region. But as you go down the list, they have Brenham at number 8, College Station at 10, and then Bryan right out of the top 10 at number 11 in terms of votes, got just a couple of votes less than College Station. But there's two of our there's a local team and an area team in the top 10 in the region, and you might as well count Bryan there too, because they're right on the cusp of that. But that's another one of those things we look for, David. You go to coaching school, you start seeing these preseason things, you see Texas Football Magazine and all those things. It's just one more signal that we're getting close.
We also got an official announcement. Fox Sports Southwest people were here as well, and they made an official announcement. I think we mentioned this after the Texas Sports Hall of Fame selection committee, that they're going to come out with a Dave Campbell's Texas Basketball Magazine. And Dave was here in fact, to talk about that today, and he's very excited about it. I think there's a very good chance that you'll see Gary Blair on the cover of the very first edition. He won't be the only one on that cover, but I think that that's a, from what Dave said today, that, that looks like that's one of the things that's going to happen. So that's rolling out this fall, so get ready. They're working on, beginning to work on that like crazy. We'll also tell you, Fox Sports about the West, you know, they do the DQ big game of the week where they go to an individual town and they follow a follow the game throughout the weekend and kind of everything leading up to the game and after the game, and then they go to the Dairy Queen as well. But the Refurio Cameron game on September 25th is going to be one of their DQ big games of the week this year.
Yeah. Now, David Campbell's down in Houston at the Texas High School Coaching Association annual convention. David, based on what I've seen on Twitter, if you could figure out some way to get in the convention center and work out a concession deal to get a dollar or two every time somebody has their photo taken with the other Dave Campbell, I mean, he's kind of popular. And so if you could get the concession on that, you even have the advantage of the name. But anybody that could get it, it could be Aubrey Bloom or Larry Bowen. But I see so many people getting their pictures taken with him. And, of course, he's a legend. If you could get the concession on that, buddy, you could take a few days off.
You know, he and his co-founder, Hollis Biddle, are both here. And Hollis is here with his camera taking shots of his own. And that thing's been around, you know, for half century, so it's not like it's anything new, but Hollis has got his own day, and Hollis is getting younger every year. I don't know how he does that, but Dave's not getting any older either, so there's a great deal of respect for Dave Campbell here, and you're right. People, they want to buy the magazine, they want to get his autograph, and they want to have their picture made with it.
All right, that's our Dave Campbell down at the Texas High School Coaches Association annual convention. He'll be there today. He's going back to Houston tomorrow, and I'm sure as the next week or two goes by, we'll get some more reports from that. I think he's going to be busy tomorrow. We're not going to make him check in 2 days in a row. I'm going to hoodwink somebody into being a guest on the show tomorrow. Dave, be careful in the Houston traffic, buddy.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
There we go. That is today's High School Report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer proudly supporting the youth of our CUNY. We'll go to break. We'll come back and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the summer with the Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot land pride shredder complete with an $800 finance rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $11,695 or 10% down in payments of only $156 per month. Normandy Tractor asks you, why buy new when you can buy used with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Normandy makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade can be your down payment. Normandy Tractor, voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normandytractor.com, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Rudy's Barbecue, Garland Shelton Imports, and Prosperity Bank. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Monograms & More has expanded, selling their uniform line under the name M&M Team Apparel. Whether you play baseball, softball, football, soccer, basketball, or any other sport, M&M Team Apparel can get you the right uniform. Let the artists and production capabilities that have designed and printed apparel for over 24 years at Monograms & More help you not only supply the uniforms for the team, but anything the coaches, cheerleaders, and parents would need to wear. Call 693-7773 or click monograms-more.com.
Don't miss the return of the Belucci Hour at the Tap, Monday, July 27th. It's time to get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texags Radio. And do we even have to mention the return of the Wrecking Crew with our brand new defensive coordinator? There's so much happening in Aggie football this fall, so we'll see you Monday, July 27th from noon till 1 at the Tap for the return of the Belucci Hour. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $6.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles and make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your game week.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Listen to the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
It's been the B&B show all day. It was Bowen and Bloom, and now it's Bloom and Benson. We're tricking people in and out here. Darren, you're here to tell us what's going on out there in the news.
You sure it's not Benson and Bloom?
Yeah, I was here first, so that's why it's Bowen and Bloom, because he got into the room first today, and then I go the other way.
I see.
Here.
Now I know how it works.
I don't mean to interrupt the news, but we already know one just distressing bit of news today. That is that Miranda Lambert and Blake Shelton are breaking up. I assume that's at the top of the list here.
That is pretty distressing.
All right. What are we going to do? It's a new world we live in. No more Blake and Miranda.
I don't know.
She's got a new album coming out, though. It's got to be good for that, right?
You would think. I don't know.
You don't know how that works? We need some data on that. Get Jordan on that. Anyway, what else is going on out there?
Lots of stuff to tell you about. First, I'll tell you, if you missed stuff over the weekend, you missed a lot of good stuff because we had good stuff over the weekend. So
it was lots of good stuff.
Ryan Kreider, we had a story about him. Of course, he was the mascot handler who saved Reveille from the SMU player who was running out of bounds. He threw that block. So we told you about he's getting sized for his senior boots that General Ramirez is going to pay for. So take a look online if you missed that story in Saturday's paper. And then in Sunday's paper, we told you about the plans for a lake. Of course, we told you last week about Texas A&M is making plans for a pond or a lake at Spence Park. There is actually
no word on jet ski rentals and
not yet houseboats perhaps. There is an Aggie graduate who actually had an idea before this came to be. He has a website called anewspencepark.com where he sort of laid out his ideas for all of these same. You know, he's got an amphitheater and a cafe and sort of a walking trail and exercise paths along with a lake at Spence Park. So. You can go online at theeagle.com, find a link to his site, the story we talked to him. He's not affiliated with the A&M plans. The A&M plans are not affiliated with his, but he's got some ideas. So if you go online and check those out. But coming up in tomorrow's paper, we will tell you we have a follow on the fire down at the Halo Bar in downtown Bryan. We told you about that on Saturday as well. It happened on Friday. There were some businesses nearby that were affected by smoke damage. Including the String and Horn Shop, which does a lot of instruments for the local high school bands and the Aggie Band. So we'll tell you what's up with them. We do have there's no cause of the fire yet, but the fire marshal has told us that they do have a location of origin of the fire, and they're not thinking that it was set intentionally. So good news there.
Yeah.
We'll also tell you about a. Just in from the Bryan Police Department, there was a pickup crashed into the Goodwill store on Texas Avenue just this afternoon. No one was injured. It was apparently just a driver error kind of thing, but he crashed into the building. And we'll tell you about in court news. We'll tell you about a man convicted of capital murder in the deaths of two siblings.